I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Steve Mims. He's the writer and director of a film called Arlo and Julie, which will be screening tonight and many times today and tomorrow at the Violet Crown Theater here in Santa Fe. Welcome, Steve, to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, this film, Arlo and Julie, is running at the Violet Crown Theater here in Santa Fe and in Austin.
That's right.
And are these two theaters the broadest theatrical release you have so far?
Well, it's kind of a long story, and the film premiered at South by Southwest in 2014, and we got a great reaction there. And then what happened after that is we got invited, based on that, to festivals all over the country. So for a year, the film played all over. It played in Nantucket, in Michigan, in San Francisco, in Florida, in Southern California, all the way up until this past March, and we had our last festival. So for a year, it was in 16 festivals everywhere, and people really loved the film. They really had a great time, and all the while we've been doing that, we've been prepping for a limited theatrical release. And so the first place that the film ran, it was in Austin 4 weeks ago. It started, and it ran for 1 week in Phoenix, Arizona, and then opens today in Santa Fe.
Well, the film is Arlo and Julie, which follows the adventures of the title characters, who are a charming young couple somewhere in a small apartment in Texas. And I thought the two leads that you found for these parts are very charming and adorable and charismatic and seem perfect for the roles. I'm wondering, where did you find these two actors? I'm smitten with them.
Yeah, no, I was too. Alex Dobrynka, who plays Arlo, it's weird. I live in Austin. I went to a meeting that was actually with a film distribution company, and this guy came into the meeting, and he had this hair that was like it wasn't a foot tall. It wasn't like Eraserhead hair, but it was big hair, and I thought, like, man, this is a very interesting-looking person. The next day, and we never talked at the meeting, the next day I saw him in an improv show in downtown Austin. I'm going, like, wait, is this the same guy I met yesterday? And so I talked to him, and it turned out he was an actor, and we started developing a short film. And I wrote a short film and cast him in it. We did it, and we had a great time. And I enjoyed working with him. And so we decided to develop a feature film project. And so I started writing it as a very small film built around him. And then he introduced me to Ashley Spillers, who's the female lead. And so I began to write it for both of them. And then the other characters came along in terms of as I wrote the script. And by the time we got to a table read of the script, they invited people that they had worked with on other films. And basically, the core cast of the movie came out without an audition to this table read. And that's how the cast worked out, like for the entire film, except for one actress who came to us through a talent agent here in Austin. And so, yeah, so it kind of organically came out of working with Alex and then meeting Ashley. And of course, she's adorable, and they're both really talented. And it was nice because they sort of vetted everybody in the cast. So it's like they got the people that could really do the job, and they were all really fun to work with, easy to work with. It's like, you know, you make a low-budget film, you want to, I think it's important. I mean, ideally, you have a cast that's small and they can all do the job without having any problems. And I've worked on films before where it was really hard to get a performance out of people. In this case, you were working with people who could do five different versions of something, and they're all pretty good. And so we had a great time with them. They're all just really super smart, fun people to work with.
Yeah, the cast had great chemistry, especially the title parts. Now, the film, the plot of the film follows the adventures of this young couple who become obsessed by these mysterious packages that start showing up at their house. And the first package has has one puzzle piece in it, and then the second one has two. Do you have a an obsession with puzzles that that inspired this story?
Yeah, no, not really. As a matter of fact, I don't have the patience to do a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, I've tried it before. I just had that idea for a long time, and I think it initially it just came from like marketing things I've gotten in the mail before, like things where an auto dealer will send you a key. This happened to me a long time ago, but they send you a key to a car, and supposedly if you get into the dealership, if it fits the ignition, the car is yours. And so, in the tradition of odd things arriving by mail, I kind of thought of that, and I always thought about like what. No matter how ridiculous it was, that if it kept happening, that you'd not be able to not think about it, and that you might become obsessed with it. And so that was the core premise for the story. And I'd had that for a while, and so it just worked out that we were able to develop it for this film.
Well, I was surprised and impressed. I thought it was a very effective device. And as the movie progresses, as the Arlo and Julie assemble this puzzle, the significance that it takes on their relationship, I was just wondering if these unexpected packages that wind up challenging their relationship were inspired by unexpected events in your own life.
No, I don't think so. I think that, I mean, one thing I observed about, like, people the age of Arlo and Julie is, and they're both in their mid to late 20s, is that a lot of people will wind up in these kind of protracted, ambiguous relationships, you know, that are, and I don't want to sound like I'm casting judgment on that, but I think that after, over time, it becomes a question about, like, what is the outcome going to be of well-adjusted people together, and at what point does that change into something else, or should it even change into something else? And so I just kind of see it with that situation for a lot of people. And I think that that's one thing that we found, like showing the film all over the country, is that people really identified with that. And I think that a lot of people who are that age see it, and it feels real. And then I think people who are old enough to have kids that age, it also, there's something there too. So I'm not sure how that worked in terms of developing the story, but it's just kind of an organic thing. Like, this is kind of the world that a lot of people are in. And sometimes in life, you know, it takes something out of the ordinary to change the situation.
Now, Arlo is a software engineer in the film, and Julie works as a waitress. Are either of these jobs that you've had in your life?
No, I've never. I know a lot of people, like in Austin, you know, half the people here are in software or hardware. And I've had to kind of keep up with all the technology in terms of film technology. Like, I teach film at UT and also make my own films and client films. And so I know just enough about that to be dangerous. But I've known a lot of people who worked as waitresses or worked, like, in the service industry. And I thought that was also very typical of the situation a lot of people are in now as well. And they're both workers. You know, they're both, like, industrious people. So I guess that's the most familiar thing to me. Like, I sort of work all the time, but I really enjoy it. And that was the kind of thinking I had about, you know, developing them as people in the film.
Now, one thing I found very interesting was that everybody in this movie seems to know a little bit about Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
Is that a personal passion of yours?
That is, yeah. One of the core stories in the film is about Grant at Vicksburg. Vicksburg is on the Mississippi River, and the Union had to get control of it in order to control traffic on the river down to New Orleans and then up the Mississippi. And so they made this giant campaign to take that city, and it's up on a hill, and they had these two big assaults that were both a disaster. the Union army just got slaughtered, and so eventually they laid siege to it. They just camped out and starved out the people up there on top of the hill. And so Grant was I'm sorry to go off on a tangent, but Grant was known to drink, and there were a couple of people, his wife, who traveled with him during his campaigns a lot of the time, and his chief of staff, they could keep him on the straight and narrow, but there came a time when they were both gone, and he went off on this adventure. So I've always had that story, and I've done a lot of research about that, and about the guy who wrote the original account of that, and I've always thought that it's a movie in itself, like it's a terrific comic, tragic film about what happened during that siege with Grant. So I've always had this, and so I was writing the script, and I thought, well, this is where, if I never get to make a real film about that, at least I can put that story in this. And then I always like it in films where, you know, the protagonist in this film is like this little guy. He's a software guy. He has a degree in history. He wants to, and so he's a kind of like armchair historian. It's an old comic technique to have other people know more than their protagonist knows about what he's supposed to be the expert. And so I guess it's sort of an old joke, but I just thought that would be an interesting thing to roll into the story and then have it have some significance in terms of what happens as well. So, yeah, it was my way to, like, get that in and to have fun with it and to make Grant sort of a minor character in the movie.
Yeah, well, I detected a little bit of a comment, perhaps. I was watching this story about this amateur historian who meets people in his everyday life who know more about American history than he does, and I found myself thinking that that's probably the way that Americans should discuss history, although all too often I meet Americans who know nothing about American history.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising and disappointing.
I find myself wishing that I had Arlo's Postman.
Well, you know, I have to say, like, the postman in Austin, Austin is a ridiculously overeducated town. It's like it's possible and likely the guy who works on your car has a PhD in something. And the postman in the film, who is kind of a amateur historian about the Civil War, you don't find that out. Actually, Arlo doesn't know that, but you find that out in the movie. It's kind of based on my mailman here, who we have for years. And he wasn't really a historian, but he was just that kind of character, very engaging, to the point where you wish you could go deliver the mail to somebody else. That's actually not improbable that you'd bump into somebody who, in whatever capacity, who'd be into something like that and be able to rattle on about it.
What are your hopes for this film in the future?
Well, we hope it will do well in Santa Fe. Like it's been great in Austin, and I think that the audiences in Austin and Santa Fe are going to be a lot the same. Like they're a lot of smart people, and it somehow struck a nerve here, and I hope that people will come out and give it a shot. You know, it has nobody in it that you've ever heard of, and it's just a very obscure. Probably the most obscure little film that you'll hear about this year, but people have really, really enjoyed it so far. And so that's the main thing. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for almost all the screenings Friday and Saturday and to do a Q&A and introduce a film. But beyond that, I'm not sure. We may have some other theatrical dates. Eventually, it will be on iTunes and Amazon and all that. We have a date right now, but it may slide a little bit, but sometime late this summer. But it's a fun film to see with an audience because it is a comedy and people really respond. So I would encourage people to come out and bring all their people with them. And to say this, like if you have yet to go to Violet Crown, it's really something. It's like a real nice civilized experience, and if you haven't had that experience, it's worth it to try it either in this film or something else. Like that's the other thing, great thing down there. I think they're showing the Mad Max films and everything, so it's quite a it's quite an experience, I would say.
Well, it's a very nice theater-going experience, and we're very pleased to know that they're bringing these small-time independent movies to downtown Santa Fe.
Yeah, well, I am so happy that it's worked out and worked out with Violet Crown, and I look forward to seeing people there if they can come out, and we'll answer, of course, any question and let people know how the film was done.
Steve Mims is the writer and director of the new film Arlo and Julie, which is opening today at the Violet Crown Theater downtown Santa Fe. He will be answering questions, appearing at every screening of the film today, tonight, and tomorrow. Thank you, Steve Mims, for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.